The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 483. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. My guest for this episode is making his return to the show. He first was a guest in February of this year, episode number 465. I'm talking about Corey from Wilkie's Movies and Music. And in February, when Corey made his first appearance, we really focused just on the movies aspect of his YouTube channel. We're going to focus more on the music side of things. Because as I discovered, chatting with Corey off air, if you will, that he's a big music buff. And so we're going to talk about favorite bands, favorite concerts, physical media versus streaming, et cetera, et cetera. So it's going to be a great conversation. I always enjoy chatting with Corey. But before we do that, I need to let you know about a great sponsor of the PVD Cast, that being World's Greatest Comics. World's Greatest Comics got everything you need for your comic book fandom. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, comic book supplies. You name it, they got it for your comic book fandom. So, if you're in Central Ohio, you owe it to yourself to stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. But if you're like Corey and you're out in Iowa, or you're out in Hawaii, or you're out in Bulgaria, wherever you happen to be listening, you can still check out the store. Their web address is wgcomics.com, and they're pretty active on their Facebook page. Just search for @WGComics. I want to thank, of course, everybody at World's Greatest Comics for being a proud sponsor of the PVD Cast. I truly say it every time, but I mean it. I'm humbled by your support, and thank you very, very much. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Corey from Wilkie's Movies and Music. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting down with Corey, the man behind Wilkie's Movies and Music. Corey, how you been, man?
I've been great. I really appreciate you having me back on. I didn't scare you off the first time, so that's always a good sign that you're willing to have me back on the podcast. So I really appreciate it.
Well, February 13th of this year is when you were on episode 465. We talked about the movie part of your YouTube channel, but we really didn't talk about the music part. So
yeah,
I'm going to say to folks, you know what? I don't know. We're going to dive into a real heavy duty discussion about film. So if you're interested, go back in the archives, go back to 465, check it out. But for us and all purposes tonight, we're going to talk a little bit more about music. But before we do that, real quickly, let's fill in the fans or the listeners a little bit about yourself. Let's give a brief little recap. You are the man behind the YouTube channel, Wilkie's Movies and Music. So why did you start the YouTube channel?
I was looking for a way to start talking about things. So I guess to backtrack a little bit, any of these things that we dive into, I never claim to be the biggest expert on. People could call me out on trivia or names or things, and I'll get it wrong or won't know it. So I'm never going at it at that angle. It's just, I love doing it. I watch movies. I'll sit down and listen to an album just the same way I watch a movie. I won't have anything else on, just put that music on and sit and listen to it and enjoy it just as much as, a movie. So it was a way that my family and some of my friends around me, they enjoy both of those, but just don't get into it quite as much maybe, and to talk about it. And it was just like an outlet to be able to share my excitement about things I'm coming across or things that I loved in the past or experiences I had with some of those things. And then, you know, hearing their feedback, you know, whether they had the same thing or something different, you know, like, oh, if you like that, check this out, you know. And it was a great way to just keep on branching out and finding new things to discover. So, but I will say, I originally was planning on doing a podcast. I didn't know if I wanted to do video. Don't ask me why. I sat on it for a long time and did not follow through. I think I joked about on the last podcast that the mic that I'm still using right now, I bought that and it sat in a box, like taped up for about 7 or 8 months. Thank goodness the mic was in there, you know, but I should have like at least opened it just to see, but I kind of got cold feet. And then I was just having fun jumping into other people's live streams in their chats and joining in with the community talk. And that's just what I ended up diving into first.
Did I notice that you have a new logo for the one YouTube channel? I don't think it was like that same design, and it certainly wasn't the same color scheme. I know that much.
I guess I couldn't tell you how long ago I don't know. I've messed with something, nothing too recently, but you know, we, like you said, it's amazing how fast time flies by. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, oh, we just talked the other day on a podcast. I'm like, no, it's halfway through June and it was February when we talked, you know, like almost half a year later. So it's kind of crazy. So I honestly can't tell you that. I'm constantly thinking about that. I thought I should have put probably a little more thought into some of those things before diving in, but I got to the point where I'm like, well, if I'm not going to do it now, I'm not going to ever do it and just jump in.
Well, and we talked about it with your first appearance. Sometimes you just have to do it.
There's
no two ways about it. You just have to do it, whether it's successful or if it's an epic failure. You just got to try and see what happens.
Right. Yep. You'll never know if you're going to be any good at it. And maybe I'm not going to be. Who knows? But I'm having fun with it right now anyway. And I think that, just like you said, just jumping into it, I have things to look back at and to see where I've grown from those, or take pointers from, like, oh, I want to do that a little bit differently the next time. So,
So when did you start noticing your love of music? Was it when you were a kid? Was it in high school? Where was it?
There's so many different spots in this, and there's so many different. That's where I have such a hard time saying like top five lists or top 10. And I know we'll get into that. We'll talk about those things. And I'm not saying I don't want to, but I have such a hard time because I always joke about being a mood listener, but I'm almost like an my different spots in my life listener as well too. So my parents, they always had, and it's funny, I actually went and I actually tracked down, I had such good memories of, they had a Kenwood stereo receiver and a turntable in the living room and a couple speakers. And I always remember they were very much, I lived on a farm, grew up rural Iowa. So it was a lot of country, older country music. So you got like Johnny Cash, Oak Ridge Boys, Alabama, you know, like things, Kenny Rogers, you know, things like that. So that was my first experience, was having fun throwing the records on and listening through that. And then the thing I was going to say was kind of funny is, I don't know why, but I had such nostalgia for that. I did track down and find somebody on eBay that was selling the exact same Kenwood stereo receiver, and I have it sitting over there right now. So
that's a name I haven't thought about in forever. Kenwood. Yeah, I gotta be honest with you.
Well, and it would have been a late '70s. It would have been a late '70s model. So, yep.
Okay.
Got the nice fake wood veneer on the sides.
Oh,
it's pretty sweet. I'll just send you pictures sometime.
Okay.
That's pretty fun.
That sounds awesome. I mean, I think my folks had a Zenith.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, turntable and receiver and speakers. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was probably the first, like, just excitement. It was fun to be able to put those. I know us old guys, you know, before internet, you could just stream whatever you wanted. It was pretty cool to have these discs, these vinyl records like sitting there that you could just throw on and say, I want to listen to that track and listen to it. So that would, that was my first, but there was a lot of other ones. I don't want to go too far.
Let me ask real quick. So your parents introduced you to it. Were they big music fans as well? Or were they even, did they even play an instrument or something along those lines?
No, they didn't. I think it was just more casual, but I think it just had that effect on me that I would go in the living room and put a record on and sit on the couch and listen to it. But no, they never really played too much instrument wise. I tried when I was younger, but I just did not have the talent. So I have the talent of listening to music and not playing it. I'll just say that.
Well, I never had any musical lessons because my parents were like, I don't know. I think they kind of just was like, I don't think John would really dig that. And they had the forethought to be like, yeah, we're not spending a couple $100 on a drum kit and then him like not really dig it.
Yeah, I think they tried. I'll give them that. There was some local ladies in the area, in our area, that gave piano lessons. And I know they sure gave it their try. I went with another neighbor girl that was on a farm next to me. We'd go together and do piano lessons. To this day, I could probably remember how to play Mary Had a Little Lamb on. You know, so that went really well. And then middle school into junior high, I sure tried at saxophone, but it just didn't stick. I think some people just have this mindset or this, like the way they can, their thought process that it just clicks with, and they are awesome at it. And that's where we get these great people, some of these bands and albums we're going to talk about, that they got that. And not jealous, I'm envious. Well, maybe I am a little jealous. It's just fun to be able to see people that can do that. But everybody, I think, is tuned a little differently and have areas that they can excel at over other people. So
I always marvel about how they know to, they being the creators, the performer, the artist, the musician, whatever you want to say, how they are able to create something and then replicate it. Like, what I mean by that is, like, you know, you pick any song by anybody, whether it's, here, I'll just, I'm trying to pick something that's, okay, something from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. How do they know if they are doing Under the Bridge? Like, how do they know the notes to play? Like, how do they write that down? Like, to me, that blows my mind because I cannot think of that way. And I mean, again, that was just a quick example, but what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they're just everybody, like I said, people have different strengths and are wired to tune into certain things differently. I appreciate music. I love it. I'll sit down and listen to it. I can't play a lick of it, and I won't. I just love that there are people that can, and I can enjoy that. But it's just like you said, I've seen some YouTube videos where they bring in like drummers. You were talking about drumming.
Oh, are you going to talk about John Stamos?
He was one of them. There was a bunch of them that I've seen. Yeah. But even, have you seen any of the, oh gosh, what are the ones where they try to find a song that they've never heard before?
And that's the John Stamos one.
Okay, yeah. And they play it without the drum track, and then they got to come up with what they want to do.
Yeah, because he does Papa Roach. What's the big song from Papa Roach? I cut my life in two pieces. Yeah.
Last Breath.
The Last Resort. That's what
Last Resort. Last Breath. Yeah. Whatever.
but yeah, John Stamos never heard the song, and he had to play along, and it was fascinating to watch him figure it out. Yeah, those are awesome. I know that there was some other ones, but that was the one that I sat and watched, was the John Stamos one.
Yeah, but it's just like their brains just are wired for that, and I love seeing people, and what's also kind of fun too is, first of all, they do a really great job with it. The ones I've seen, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm blown away that they listen to a song without a drum track and they throw something in there that is amazing. But second, you can tell they're having fun with it too. You know, they're just like, it's enjoyment. It's something that they really dig.
Okay, you are, of course, as we talked about in February, you are a physical media type of dude. You appreciate physical media.
Yes, sir.
the physical media for music is, of course, vinyl and CDs. So what's your take on CDs or vinyl versus streaming?
So I enjoy all of them in different ways. Streaming, because of the access. I mean, gosh, oh my gosh. When I was a kid, I could never have imagined I could pay. When we're talking about movies and streaming music, I think I was just asking somebody the other day about this. I'm like, why does it feel like the streaming music thing, and maybe people aren't getting paid as well as they should be, and I apologize. I want artists to be paid well because they're the ones creating it and doing it, but it just seems like, okay, you can pick one service and get all this music across all these different labels and there's no problem. But movies and TV, it seems like now we got, you know, you got to subscribe to 52 different ones if you want to be able to see every different studio's release. So I do enjoy that because of the access of it. And it really helps me really dive into some things that I don't know if I'm going to be interested in, but you know, like for whatever, I don't even know what our subscription cost is for like Spotify, but you know, for that monthly payment, you have everything at your fingertips. It's so cool to be able to have that. But that being said, when I find albums I like or artists that I like, I try to I don't go to a ton of concerts. I'll admit that right off the bat. I do like going to them, but it's kind of a love-hate relationship, I'll say that. So I try to go out to do that. I do buy vinyl. I do buy CDs still. I have a ton of CDs from growing up and cassettes still, but I try to do some things like that. If there's somebody I really like, I try to do something that will support them and buy, you know, something from their releases.
I feel like for me, this is my own personal opinion, like streaming is great if you want playlists. I want 80s hip hop playlist, great. But for me, like I'm frustrated oftentimes with just finding an album, the whole album.
Oh, absolutely.
By the band, whomever. And, like, I struggle because maybe I'm not doing it right. Maybe I'm overlooking some tricks and tips to getting that. But for me, that's what kind of annoys me. And that's what bothers me about streaming is that, you know, when you had a CD, that's the entire album. So if it was an awesome album, if it was Purple Rain by Prince, you got it all right there. You didn't have to search for it or that. And I feel like with some of these streaming services, that option is a lot tougher than it should be.
So I'll completely agree with that. And I've heard people bring up comments like that before, where now they're worried about artists creating music for the single and not the album, you know. And some of the old albums, there was a story that was being told through the entire album. Like, you listen through that and it progresses through something. There's like pain or growth or happiness, sadness, whatever, but there's a common theme that just kind of pulls all the way across that. And maybe even some of our greatest bands that we love or albums that we love, there might be some tracks on there that are not top 20 hits on the radio, but when you hear that all together, it just tells a great story and you enjoy the entire thing. You can listen to it all the way through. And I will say that on some of the newer albums, I'm not saying nobody does that anymore, but it seems like it's harder to find that continuous, like, here's 12 tracks or whatever, you know, like, I'm telling a theme throughout this entire thing.
Yeah, absolutely. That truly exactly what I get frustrated with. You're right, because I can think of so many albums I have in my collection, in my CD collection, that are, I'm like, yeah, there was three hits, but man, the rest of that album was solid. Like, it was good, and it had some bangers on it, as the kids say. So I think that's for me. Well, shall we go ahead and start talking about some favorite musical acts?
Yeah, sure, let's go for it. What do you got on here?
Well, you know what? I'll let you go first. Who is we'll go maybe we'll go four or five. All right, and see what we could debate in terms of our liking of those bands or those performers.
Okay, so I have way too many things here. to talk about. I'll admit that right now. I was just grabbing stuff because there's like so many things that I love for different reasons. And I don't, any of them, somebody could be like, that's not the greatest band ever. And I'm like, okay, I'm fine with that. But I had such a connection, or it hit me at the right time. So, all right, I'm going to dig older. How about this? We'll go back first. I'm going to bring up the Cars debut album. So as a kid, I had the cassette of this. I don't, unfortunately, any longer. But this debut album of the Cars, it's a great pop rock album. I'll tell you this right away. I'm all over the place with genres. So
same here.
It doesn't bother me. But man, that one, I remember playing the heck out of that cassette. And that's almost one. You always joke about some people have some albums that are almost like their greatest hits. There's like, if you could add two or three more songs onto this from other albums, it's their greatest hits. And I don't know. It was something about it as a kid in the 80s. I loved listening to it. So, and I still love listening to it.
What were the hits from that album? Because Drive is later, correct?
Yes, that's later. But this has got, oh gosh, now you're like testing me. See, that's where I'm going to fail. But Good Times Roll, My Best Friend's Girlfriend.
Yeah.
Or Best Friend's Girl. Sorry, I said the wrong. Just What I Needed. Yeah. Some of these are not as known, but You're All I've Got Tonight.
Yeah.
Bye Bye Love. You know, it's,
I don't know that one. I got to be honest. You got me on that one. I don't know Bye Bye Love. So okay. My favorite I love is Drive by the Cars. I think that's,
it's a great one.
It's a fantastic song. It just hits the right spots, you know, and I dig it. So
that's where I'm saying, like, a couple, if you could add a couple other songs from later albums onto that, it's like their greatest hit. So Drive and Magic was another one that I liked a lot, you know. So anyway, I'm kind of digging. I was trying to find some different ones to kind of throw out there, but that definitely. And okay, I know people listening on the podcast can't see this, but this was always one of those cover art that it caught my attention. The face, the steering wheel, the arm, people can look it up later. Sorry. I know on podcast.
Look that up. I said they need to look that up.
Yeah. No, it's a great album. But I born in the 70s, grew up in the 80s and 90s, and so there's a lot of, and I had an older brother that was 6 years older than me, and some cousins in different ranges of age. So it just like old country pop, hair metal, heavy metal, like it's a weird mix. And I think that just shows today where I'm kind of all over the place. It's just what I feel like at that particular time. So,
okay. I'll go with one that, I first learned about because a friend of mine got their greatest hits on cassette. And that would be Roger Daltrey, John Entwistle, Keith Moon, and of course, Pete Townsend, The Who. Just nice. The power of their vocals, like Won't Get Fooled Again, has just got that kick to just jar you into the song. And then they had other, like Squeezebox, totally different, totally different type of song from Won't Get Fooled Again. And then I got into the rock operas, and I couldn't believe, as a kid, I could not believe. Because when I thought opera, I thought, you know, Figaro, 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 you know, like that snooze fest stuff that I'm not interested in. And there was a rock opera that was awesome, and that was killer. And so, yeah, still to this day, The Who, one of my top favorites.
Well, I can listen to that. I can listen to classic rock a lot of times too. So I'm like, like I said, depending on the day, I'm all over the place. My wife usually would complain about it because I would. So talking about like our age, burning CDs was kind of a thing for a while.
Oh yeah.
You know, to do a little mixtape for action that we're used to. And there were so many times we'd be in the car and I'd be playing that, and she's like, no, you can't go from that song to that song. You know, like it's too jarring or something. But I'm like, it's just ones I felt like listening to at this time. So anyway, sorry.
All right. No. I mean, that's a valid point. You know, if you wanted a good mixtape, I mean, and that's where I think streaming's great for that. Again, I'm going to cycle back to what we talked about 10 minutes ago. I think that's great. iHeartRadio, that's my That's my streaming service for music.
Okay.
And then podcasts are all from Spotify. And I have no idea why I did it that way. In my mind, that makes perfect sense. But I've had people go, you know, that doesn't make any sense, right? I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm aware. It, for me, somehow it makes perfect sense in my head. But
yeah, I'm kind of the same way, too, where I run. We do have a family account with the wife and the kids with Spotify. But then I also do Tidal. I don't know if you've ever heard of that before.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, but it's kind of a, I think Jay-Z bought into it quite a bit and it built it up quite a bit, but it's supposed to be. So if you ever talk about movies with people and then you have the argument between DVD, Blu-ray and 4K, Tidal is supposedly the 4K of music. So you would have the argument of Spotify being maybe, and I'm not demeaning Spotify. It sounds great to me. And their algorithm is awesome finding some music, but I just am kind of likening it, that to it. Spotify is like the Blu-ray and Tidal is like the 4K. And whether you think it's worth it or not is, you know, personal choice. But.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's talk about another one of your musical acts, sir.
All right. Okay. Now you got me digging. I got to figure out which I want to throw out here. So this is one, it's actually not a full album, but it's EP technically, but I absolutely love this. I play this so much. And this is one of those, some of my, in the 90s, I got way into a lot of alternative and grunge bands. They did not press a lot of vinyl in the 90s. Some of it's not the best, but it was so rare that a lot of these albums, they just didn't have them in print for vinyl anyway. And they were super expensive. And this one recently, within the last couple of years, was re-released, but we got Alice in Chains' Jar of Flies.
All right.
So that is one that I can just listen through that. It's not long. Like I said, it's not a full album. It's more of an EP, but yeah, I can listen to that thing any time of day. I think that's one I can throw on whenever. So when you get angsty, you know, I was in the 90s, you know, high school and college and got that angsty teen anger going, or what you think is anger going on. Get to listen to that. But
well, you know what, I'm gonna be honest, when you were talking there for a moment about, you know, grunge and alternative rock and they didn't press a lot, I was thinking, because one of my prized possessions, and I can't remember what it's called, I have a Mighty Mighty Boss Tones EP that they put out, and it was very rare. It has covers of Sweet Emotion, Enter Sandman, and I can't remember, and I can't for the life of me remember it. I'm gonna look it up. Hold on.
That's the truth though. Like that the original 90s pressing of Jar, or I want to say it's 90s. Somebody's gonna say I'm wrong, but that pressing, the original pressing of that, it was going for a ton of money before it was re-released. But then there was so many others I was trying to get a hold of. I'll just throw, maybe for honorable mention, one that a buddy's older brother got me into for a while in the late 80s, early 90s was Toad the Wet Sprocket. And they had an album I really like. I still really like. It's called Pale. And it was before they really got big. But that is one that it had a kind of a lime green coloring to the vinyl, and there was not a lot of them, and I always wanted it, but it was going for money that I knew I'd get in trouble for buying it if I did. But
okay, it's called Where'd You Go, and the other song is Ain't Talking About Love by Van Halen. They covered
that. Oh, nice. Well, so they kind of had a cover EP.
Yeah, and I looked for it for years. I bought a used copy of it. I finally found it at like a flea market or something. I'm like, oh my god, I'm buying this.
Yeah,
because somewhere I heard about it, and I heard that they had Enter Sandman, and I'm like, I have to hear this. This is something that I must hear. And of course, you know, in 91, there's nowhere to, you know, to
you find can't stream that, it. You
know? Yeah. No, you can't stream it at all. You know what I mean? So
that's awesome. I need to try to track, even if it's on streaming or YouTube or something, I got to track that down and check.
Yeah. Cause it's good. And then there's two other regular songs that they do. So there's only five songs on there, but the covers, even Sweet Emotion, Ain't Talking About Love, are both very good as well.
Okay.
All right. My next favorite, you talk about angst. This was my angst group. I'm a huge fan of Public Enemy.
Oh, yeah.
So growing up in Eastern Ohio, you know, it was a lot of coal mining, steel production, and, you know, growing up, those industries were going bye-bye, you know? And so there was a lot of angst towards politicians and government and whatnot, including my parents. My parents were always like, oh, that Reagan ain't doing a damn yeah. thing to help us, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I heard that a lot in my mind. And so, you know, at first when hip hop came out, it was Run DMC, you know, because they had the most playable yeah. tracks. You know, there wasn't cursing.
And Beastie Boys and, you know, things like that.
Yeah, but Public Enemy had that, like, that social awareness to it. That's what drug me in. And I say this, and this is where it's going to get a little bit of a weird conversation. Like, my folks were not real keen on Public Enemy. But the thing, Corey, was I was trying different. To say, but it's not different, because I said to them, I said, this is what you all complain about.
Right. I think it's just the unknown. And it, so I'll admit too, like, you know, when I'm coming from, like I said earlier, like growing up with a rural Iowa background, listening to old country music, you know, the first time some things, you know, whether it comes up tonight, there's some bands that I remember the moment I heard them, because it was like, oh my gosh, what is this? And so that might've been like one of those moments with you where it was like the message is connecting to you, but it's being told in a different way than what you were used to, you know, and it's a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So I vividly remember, you know, like talking to my folks and like, this is what you guys complain about all the time. You watch the news and the next thing, the government doesn't help us. The government wants, you know, everybody wants to get a handout, blah, 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 blah. That's what you guys talk about all the time. And I don't know if the message really clicked or not. I never revisited it with them. But yeah, Public Enemy still to this day. Now, in fact, I make no bones about it. If people ask me, if you could get a dream guest for the PVD cast, it'd be Chuck D. Hands down. No hesitation. Cool. Boom. That's who it would be. I'd love to talk to him.
Get Chuck D and Flavor Flav on there. And
well, Flavor.
Yeah, you wouldn't talk to him? Come on.
I would. I'm not lying, but if I had my choice, it would just be Chuck.
There you go. I'll tell you what was cool was in early 90s, there was some crossovers that were happening, and it kind of reminded me of like when you talked about Run DMC and then like Aerosmith, they did Walk This Way, you know,
yeah.
where you're exposing people that maybe were more familiar with one genre or the other, and you're getting a crossover, and that's kind of awesome. But when you said Public Enemy, I always think of Public Enemy, Anthrax, I believe it was. Yeah. Bring the Noise, and
yes,
I remember that. I bought the tape of that, and I was like rocking that thing out. So it's cool when they can do some things like that, and kind of. But at that time, now maybe your algorithm of Spotify or iHeartRadio maybe jumps you over to something that you weren't used to and you listen to it. But at that time, it was actual bands and artists coming together and doing some of those crossover things that were exposing you to something that maybe was not on your normal playlist, but you end up loving. And then you check out like, oh, what else have they done? You know, and mm-hmm. check out their albums. So.
All right. You got another one for us to discuss.
I feel like I talk too much on these things.
No, so I'm always you are talking. Fine. You are doing A-okay.
Okay. I'm going to throw out, one that I absolutely, well, okay. I'm going to go a little different, but, so also going for that time period, but the Cranberries.
Oh yeah.
So this was, everybody else is doing it. So why can't I, or why can't we, sorry, I said that wrong. Somebody will correct me. I absolutely love her voice. I don't know. It was just something that, again, was different than what I was used to. And she was doing, just had a different tone to it and different inflections. And I dug them a lot. So that was definitely an album that I listened to quite a bit and followed them as long as I could while they were putting stuff out. So.
Is that the one that has Zombie on it?
No.
No, Zombie's no, later.
Yep, that's the one after that one, I believe. Somebody's going to correct me if I'm wrong. This has more Dreams and Linger.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Zombie, I believe, was the one right after this.
Okay, and it's a shame Dolores O'Riordan passed away absolutely. So young.
Absolutely.
She was what, in her mid-50s?
Young, very young.
Yeah.
I was just joking about this with some friends. It's funny. the older you get, the younger ages are, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, so somebody listen to this maybe that is 18 and be like, 50s, oh my gosh, you know. But not saying in a bad way, but I was the same way at that age too. But like, as I'm like, I'm nudging 50 right now, you know. And so like, when you hear somebody in their, you know, early to mid 50s, I'm like, man, that's young. That's for mm-hmm. that's pretty young. But yeah, very, but beautiful voice, very talented. And I can throw that album. That one sounds great on vinyl. That pressing that I have, I don't know. I'm not going to claim to be an expert on those things, but I can throw that one on and just, like I said, not have anything else on, put my phone away from me and just listen to that album. So,
well, the first album from this band that I'm going to mention is the example that we talked about with Spotify and all these streamers. It's an album that has a couple of hits, but it's an awesome album all the way through. And that is, of course, the album's called Deluxe, and it's by one of my favorite, Better Than Ezra. I love me some Better Than Ezra. They are fantastic. I wish that they did more expansive tours because I would definitely go see them again. But unfortunately, they kind of stick to that southeastern United States area. But Better Than Ezra, I think pretty much everything but their newest disc. Fantastic band. Love them to death.
I agree with you. That was in my wheelhouse too, with the kind of time from, I think I'm not saying you have to say age, but I think I'm older, but I think we're pretty close to kind of.
I hit 50 this year, so I'm right on the nose.
So we're like less than a year apart. So we're right there. Yeah. They hit at a great time. That album is so good. I'll agree with you. I played that thing so much. And I luckily I got to see them in concert one time, and at the Iowa State Fair. There you go. And that was one thing that Iowa State Fair, actually, it was kind of funny. I always grew up showing, not to go into that too much, but I was working and showing animals at the thing. And but they would always bring in a lot of different groups, a lot of country acts. But over the years, they brought in a lot of mixes. And we're in a smaller area where, you know, not all the big names always come through there. So yeah, there was one year. So sorry, long story, short answer. I got to see them.
I saw them last, I want to say, in like 2014. Mm-hmm. And then like I follow them on social media and they're always touring. And like the one time that they came to Ohio was in Dayton, and it was a conflict with something else I had going on. I didn't get to see them. And I always kind of feel like, man, I really, really would love to see them again, because just after Deluxe, like every other disc that came out, every other album that came out was just as good as the previous one.
Yeah, no, I'll agree with you. I really enjoy them. That's one I could throw on and listen to pretty much whenever. So, oh, absolutely. That's the thing. We could have like a 6-hour show of like talking about things that we love of different times of our lives too. But that is one that hit at a pivotal time, I think, in our lives. You know, the age we were at, but you can still, I can still go back and watch, and it sounds like you too, but go back and listen to that and just enjoy it like the first time you heard it.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Corey for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic-related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, comic book supplies. They got you covered for your fandom. You need to check them out online. They're available at wgcomics.com, or you can follow them on Facebook. Just search for @WGComics. And if you're in Ohio, you can stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. All right, how about a couple more here, Corey? You got another one for us to discuss?
Oh my goodness, I got to cut down my stack here a little bit. I'm gonna go with, so maybe it's just the nostalgia. I'm going back to some high school days, but I got Smashing Pumpkins' Siamese Dream.
Oh, fantastic! Great that album.
That was one that I still can listen to whenever. I can just go back and listen. But that was another one where there was a lot of different sounds, a lot of different voices that were coming out that were different than what you are, at least that I was used to hearing. And I loved it. It was just hearing different ways to like you said, when you were talking about Public Enemy and like, okay, these are messages you're hearing already and you agree with, but it's just being told differently. And it's cool to have that crossover where you find people that you have some similar interests or feelings or thoughts, but there's different ways to tell it. And I thought that was one that, and I still remember to this day making fun of their name the first time I heard it. I'll admit that Smashing Pumpkins. I was like, oh, that's when we get in trouble, you know, when we go around Halloween and through. But yeah, there's some great 90s alternative band names, but they're right there. So I can go back and listen to that one. I know some people probably say it's overplayed, but I enjoy it.
Well, you're talking about independent underground bands. My fourth one is that I'm not sure that a lot of people are familiar with them, and they should. The band is called Fantagram. Josh Carter and Sarah Bethel. They do a kind of a more electronic type of rock. I love them. I've seen them, I think, 3 or 4 times in concert. Every time they kill it because obviously they bring a light show and an environment to match that electronic sound that they have. They're from Brooklyn. They hit down here with a song, Fall in Love, many, many moons ago. I want to say 2012, 2013. And that song was so captivating that I just latched on to their other material. And still to this day, they're out there touring. And I again, can throw on any one of their CDs. In fact, their newest album I just bought on CD. And I thought, this is the first CD I've purchased in probably like 5 or 6 years, you know, but I did it because I was like, I want to have that in my collection as well. So yeah, definitely. If you're not familiar with Fantagram, I would check them out.
I am not. And I just was trying to write that down while you were talking about that. So I will make sure if I can't find it, I'll connect with you later. I definitely want to check that out. That's one thing I absolutely love. With movies too, but we're talking about music tonight. Like, I've had so many great connections with friends talking about things we like, don't like, whatever, but we're never upset, you know, if somebody doesn't like something. But it's kind of cool to be able to like throw out like, hey, well, if you like this one, check this one out. And one of my good friends that I graduated from high school with and actually college with as well, that's what got us connected again later on in life, was sending links to streaming services like, hey, dude, have you listened to this one? This sounds like the band we saw in college, you know, and we just go back and forth, and it's a fun connection to have and to get exposed to things that maybe you just normally wouldn't come across. So I will definitely check them out.
All right. You got another one you want to throw out there?
All right. Maybe I'll do a curveball. We'll see here.
Okay.
Oh gosh, where is that? Here it is. All right, I'm going to do this one just because growing up with country music, I got to the point where I hated it and never wanted to hear it again, you know, because that's what my parents listened to, and then I was going into rock and everything like that. But there was a lot of newer stuff that started coming out that got me back into it a little bit, and I will say this is Chris Stapleton, Traveler.
Okay.
Definitely country. I know it's not going to be for everybody, but this dude's voice wails. Like, he's got pipes on him. It is crazy. Whether you dig the music or not, it's kind of cool to, he's got a talent. He's got a voice on him. And it's fun to listen to, for me anyway. So definitely, I know it's not every genre is going to be for, or, you know, like type of music is for everybody, but, man, he can, there's some, I know there's more than, like I said, that I'm going to be able to show. There's some women in here too. Some of these albums that they just have these voices that kind of draw me out, that it's something different or powerful. And he definitely has got one of those.
Okay. You want to go ahead and tell us, cause I got one more on my list. Do you want to tell us about maybe one of those other individuals that have one of those powerful voices that just hook you?
Oh, sure. Sorry, I'm grabbing it. Just to kind of spread the love around, I'm going to go with Norah Jones.
Oh, wow. That's a blast from the past.
So we got Norah Jones here. This was one of her newer albums, Not Too Late, but I love her first one too. But I know she was made a big splash when she came on the scene. It was something a little different, a little old school, that had the deep, I don't know, jazz voice or blues voice. I don't know what you want to call it. Somebody make fun of me. I don't know what I'm talking about other than whether I can say I like it or not. But I absolutely love her voice. I can listen to her. You always hear those jokes about, like, I could hear you read the phone book. I could hear her sing the phone book, you know, and be perfectly fine with that. But she's just got one of those voices that pulls you in, or pulls me in anyway. But that's a fun album. I really enjoy her.
I totally forgot about Norah Jones, to be honest with you. I remember how big she was. She was in the mid-90s, 95, 96, somewhere around there with that hit.
Yep.
But you can't remember the name of the song now. I know.
Well, is it Come Away With Me? Is that the one? Or
I think that's the one. Yeah. I think that is the one.
Yeah, a bit very jazz, deep, bluesy kind of sound. Her voice, it's and then that album I pulled out was a later one, Not Too Late. There's a lot of good songs on there that probably didn't hit big top play radio lists, but I really enjoyed. And
I think
you can listen to that.
I think for me, if we're staying on that wavelength of powerful voices, Tracy Chapman.
Oh, absolutely. absolutely.
I mean, you know, I picked up that album as a kid, you know, the first one that had Fast Car on it. And I did not know how to comprehend it. I really didn't, because it was something so different. I remember my aunt overheard me playing it and was like, "What are you listening to?" And I explained, she goes, "My God, that's like angelic," you know? And so for me, that would be my pick. If I had to pick just one person that had one of those powerful voices, it would be her.
And I could not argue that one bit. That was one thing I made sure of when my kids were younger. They got kind of into, some of them into country and some to pop, some of a mix of it. But my daughter, I remember when there was a country singer that did Fast Car, that re-released that one, did their own version of that. And I'm like, no. I'm not saying it's bad, but you got to hear Tracy Chapman sing that song. Because, oh, yeah, I have that CD still somewhere here. But she has I agree with you, a beautiful, great, deep voice. Mm-hmm. I love that. Mm-hmm.
Well, my last favorite band is one that I unfortunately don't know if they're doing anything anymore. I haven't heard anything since 2018 about from this group. And when I say group, it's really one guy. It's one guy, and then everybody else is kind of a rotating, you know, band member, so to speak. The band is called VAST, which stands for Visual Audio Sensory Theater. It is just John Crosby is the gentleman who's behind it. I've seen them a lot. I want to say like four or five times. They have a very much like their first few CDs or first few albums, very industrialist, like Nine Inch Nails industrial.
Okay. Okay.
Then their subsequent albums, he started dabbling into acoustic and kind of bluesy type of songs. Like I said, they got a great sound. Unfortunately, 2018, they were supposed to have a new album that's never come out. There's not been a date. And I feel like that's a shame, because more people should know about VAST.
I wrote it down. I don't know about them. I'll admit that. I absolutely love this, because I have two bands now that I'm going to be putting on some playlists tomorrow. But I absolutely love that, though. It's like free candy, you know. It's like, hey, check out this really cool thing, you know. It's like, but you know what I'm saying, like it's so cool. But that's what's the cool thing about having the love-hate relationship with the streaming services, is with that streaming service now I can probably, I'm pretty sure it's probably on Spotify, I can go check it out.
I would imagine, I think so, because especially the first two albums, because they were on a major label.
Yeah,
so the other four I don't know, but probably those first two are on a major label. So
I promise, two seconds. But when you said something about going crazy, going to from the different sound to acoustic, one of my had here was
Nirvana. Oh, okay.
So anyway, I'll just say that real quick. That was one I had sitting there, and you just made me think about it. But when somebody goes into a different sound than what they're normally and still come off amazing is pretty cool. So.
Is there any others that you want to mention? I don't want to cut you off. Do you have a couple others you want to throw in here?
I'll say one of my early ones that really blew me away was Pink Floyd, and I still can go back and listen to them. I know.
No, I'm sorry. It's okay. I'm not a Pink Floyd fan. I just don't get it.
It's okay. But that's the great thing. Like, I never get offended by that because I know not everything is for everybody. If we go to a restaurant, we're not all going to like the exact same thing off the menu, you know? So I completely understand that. And just another quick shout out would be to Tom Petty. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. So, but Tom Petty with this Wildflowers and all the rest, that this album and particularly this vinyl pressing is amazing. It sounds so good. So anyway, cool. I'll be quiet after that.
Okay. Well, I have a couple of other questions here before we start wrapping things up.
Yeah, go for it.
Let's talk about, I know you said you don't see many concerts or you haven't seen many concerts.
Yeah.
What's the best one you've seen though?
Oh man. A fun experience I had was, so in Iowa at the Iowa Cubs baseball stadium. So that's our AAA baseball team, the one right below the MLB major league teams. Dave Matthews Band played in the outfield, and my wife and I were standing in the outfield with a bunch of other crazy young kids and hung out and watched that. And it was just a good time. Like, it was more the music, but the experience as well too. I had a lot of fun with that. So, but then there's also weird ones too, where, so one, I'm not expecting you to know it, but again, at a time where I was like not liking country music and it was trying to go a little more mainstream or pop, in the 90s, my mom took me to a concert. It was a band called Sawyer Brown.
Oh, I know Sawyer Brown.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm not trying to call you out, but I didn't know. But that was one where I was just like, I just remember sitting with her and she's like, please just come with me to the concert. She wanted to go to the concert. She wanted me to go. I had no desire to go. And I remember sitting there having a good time and enjoying the music. So, but that definitely is, I go back and listen to that. I did it not too long ago. It's definitely that 90 early 90s country sound to it. But I remember having a great time because I was with her and, you know, with Dave Matthews, I was with my wife. And so many times I think with concerts, it's, or at least for me anyway, I haven't been to a ton of them. I try to go when I can. I'm selectively antisocial. I kind of joke about sometimes where sometimes I like the idea of a concert, but then I get there and I'm like, oh, this is too many people. But if I'm with the right people, it's amazing. Sorry. One more I want to throw out. Small club in Des Moines, Iowa. They're not a huge band. I do have their album sitting over here too. One of theirs, Need to Breathe is the band.
Okay, never heard of them. You got me on that one.
Need to Breathe. There's one of them right there. If you end up not liking them, it's okay. But that was an awesome experience. I was with my wife, a good buddy of mine that I went to high school and college with, and his wife. And it was just one of those like fall down small venues where even if you're in the back, you're not that far away from the stage, mm-hmm. kind of a deal. And it was just a cool experience and vibe too. So anyway, I'll just say that one too.
Well, I wrote it down. So
okay. It's kind of folky country, like, or not country, but rock. I don't know. Like some reason, and you could completely disagree with me, but I almost kind of liken it to Mumford and Sons a little bit, but
okay. I dig Mumford and Sons.
Okay. But it kind of feels like it's going that, I'm not saying exactly the same, but that type of direction.
So. Okay. All right. Gotcha. My mom loved that 90s country. Like had a big dose of Randy Travis.
Oh, absolutely.
Vince Gill, Amy Grant, her other favorite, Marty Stewart.
Oh yeah.
Was another favorite of hers.
An early concert I saw too at the Iowa State Fair, we were talking about that earlier, was Alabama, was another one that was 80s into the 90s a little bit, you know. And yeah, there was a big string of those, or even early like Kenny Chesney and Mark Chestnut. And I don't know if you've heard any of those, but
I've heard
anyway,
of them.
Yeah. I was exposed to a lot of that. We'll just say that. So
Okay. Well, sticking on this idea of concerts here as we wrap up.
Yeah.
Is there a dream concert that you would love to see?
Oh, man. I never saw. What? I know.
And let me preface this. Hold on. Cost is no object. So,
okay.
So okay. Throw it out there.
Even though you rolled your eyes at one of the bands, two of them that I've never saw in concert, but I had multiple opportunities to, and I never got to go see them, was Pink Floyd and Metallica. I never saw either of them live, and I had opportunities that ended up not working out, and I had friends that went to them. And those were two at different parts of my life that I wish I could have got to. So,
okay. Mine actually came to fruition, sort of. I never saw Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, yeah.
I would have loved to seen them. And they came out on tour in 2019 with one of the... I don't like a lot of new rap, but I do like Run the Jewels. I think they have that...
I agree. Sorry.
They're the new Public Enemy because they have that, again, that social awareness, but they also have like that multi-layered beats behind them and everything. And I was so disheartened that the tickets were so ungodly expensive.
That's a thing.
They were $275 to sit at the top row of the queue in Cleveland, Ohio.
Yep.
Yeah. And I was like, there's no way that you guys are the anti-capitalists. Why is your ticket so expensive?
So that's part of the reason too, where I don't see a ton of them. I could, but you know, like sometimes I'm just like, there's a budget and I want to stay within certain things. And there's other things I want to do too. But it's amazing how expensive, I'm not saying they're not worth it, but it's amazing how expensive things have gotten. I still will remember, this is my old guy story again to throw out there, but Iowa State Fair, I remember in the '80s with some buddies going and buying tickets. We went and saw Cheap Trick. Mm-hmm. It was the first concert ticket I bought that was over $15. It was 15 and change, and my dad lost his mind that I paid more than $15 to go see a concert. And then 20 years later, I'm looking at him paying $150 to go see Kenny Chesney, you know, or something mm-hmm. like that. And I'm like, that's funny how that changes.
two small notes. That concert, that tour never happened because it was 2019. And so the tour started and Rage Against the Machine and Run the Jewels did like three shows and then COVID hit.
Oh.
And so the tour was canceled. And then when it came back, when they finally, it was just Rage Against the Machine and I can't remember who it was, but Run the Jewels went and did their own thing.
Yeah.
And actually when you were talking about that, you know, the expense, Fantagram was here in town and I really, really wanted to go see them, but they were with Kings of Leon. And again, the tickets were like $200. And I'm like, I'm not paying $200. And they were in a small venue. It wasn't like they were at, you know, Nationwide Arena here in Columbus, right. Ohio. It was a small little, maybe 5,000 seat auditorium. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I love you guys, but I'm not paying $200.
That's
going to see you.
Yeah, that's kind of with me too, where I kind of have a cutoff point. And I'm still trying to figure out what my dollar cutoff point is. But yeah, when you get into hundreds of dollars for a single ticket, and then you know you're going to have parking, you're going to have like a beverage or food or something, or go out to eat, you know, like it's not just that ticket. And like I said, not saying they're not worth it, but man, some of them start pricing me out a bit.
Well, and I hate to be this conspiracy guy because I hate conspiracy theorists, but I don't think it's the artist that gets all that money. I'm for sure.
Oh, absolutely not.
No. Ticketmaster takes their fair or unfair cut, you know?
Yeah. Whoever's selling the tickets got to get something. Whoever has the venue is getting something. I mean, yeah. So, no, I don't blame the artist at all, but it just gets to the point where good for you if you can sell it out. But there's a point where I can't. I'll buy the album and I'll listen to it at home, you know, and put that extra money towards my sound system or something. whether that sounds bad or not, like I said, no ill will against them. Like I said, and like you, what you said, the artists are definitely not getting all of that. there's a lot of people biting at that. So
absolutely. All right, Corey, man, thanks very much for coming on again. Feel like, as I told you off air, I make mental check marks of who I promised to come back on. And so the other day I was like, I got to reach out to Corey because it's been, you know, it's February. So it's been a minute since we have chatted. So I'm glad that we could do this. Hey, is there anything that you want to plug real quick, such as the YouTube channel, social media, anything along those lines?
First of all, thank you very much for having me back on again. It's always fun to hang out with you. It's so much fun. This is a happy coincidence about doing the whole YouTube thing, about running into fun people like this to talk about things we enjoy. So I very much appreciate that. So I appreciate you having me back on. I'll say, yeah, if anybody wants to check out my channel, I'm kind of random sometimes, but yeah, got movies and music on there too. But Wilkie's Movies and Music on YouTube, on Instagram. The only thing I have coming up, really, we have some big life events going on. We got a son that's getting married this weekend. So that's a big deal. So that's taken up a little bit of a time. But next, the week after, the 26th, I have a good friend talking about music, a good friend named Hortensia. She goes by DJ NC on Twitch. She is really into trance music. And she does sets on Twitch, and got to know her through other friends on YouTube. So that's the only thing I really have scheduled really soon. But no, like I said, I always appreciate the time to come hang out and have some fun like this. I have a blast.
Well, you're welcome, man. I enjoy having you on here. And, you know, maybe again, maybe towards the end of the year, we'll touch base and see what other wacky topics we could talk about.
That's always sounds good to me. We can come up with something, I'm sure.
All right. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Corey, the man behind the YouTube channel Wilkie's Movies and Music. We finally got to talk about some music this time around, and I really do appreciate Corey taking some time out of his busy schedule to sit down and chat with me. And you all need to check out his YouTube channel. There's a lot of great content over there. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for me to start wrapping things up. And first thing I'll do is I'll give you an opportunity to make your voice heard. If you want to let me know what you thought about an episode, there's a couple different ways you can get in touch with me. First of all, you can be old school. You can shoot me an email. JohnOrlando@pvdcast.com is the email address. You can leave me a message over on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads accounts. Just search for @pvdcast. And I'm still on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @pvdmvp. Now, maybe you want to let some folks know where they can hear this great podcast. Well, there's a couple different avenues for that as well. First off, pvdcast.com is the online home of yours truly and probably the best place to get every single new episode of the show. But it's also available through all those major podcasting outlets and apps. All you have to do is go to your favorite outlet or app, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it and you should find it. And while we're talking about those outlets and apps, please rate and review. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm, and it lets those outlets and those apps know that you're listening. And you don't have to be super long-winded. Just give me as many stars as you think I deserve, and then a brief little, you know, great job, love the show, fun listen, whatever you want to say. Again, you don't have to write a novel is what I'm getting at. So, but if you would rate and review, I'd greatly appreciate it. And by the way, while you're at your favorite outlet or app, just go ahead and subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVD cast. But there's a third and final way that you can check out the week's episode, and that is through the Facebook page, once again, @PVDcast, where every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a live broadcast of the week's episode. So there's three ways where you can hear this show. First, PVDcast.com. Secondly, through your favorite outlet or app. And thirdly, of course, through the Facebook page every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you once again for checking out the episode. and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2025.